and 204. And next week, 205 and 206, and we conclude the chapter next week. And we begin with, we skip two chapters, and then we go to Yunus alayhi salam, inshallah, which is chapter number 10, inshallah ta'ala. So bear with us for two more weeks. We are concluding this chapter, and within, inshallah, if we live another 5, 6, 7 years more, we're going to conclude the whole Quran, inshallah. If not, then somebody else has to come and finish it all. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا لم تأتهم بآية قالوا لولا اجتبيتها وإذا لم تأتهم بآية قالوا لولا اجتبيتها قل إنما أتبع ما يوحى إلي قل إنما أتبع ما يوحى إلي من ربي بهذا بصائر من ربكم هذا بصائر من ربكم وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون واذكر ربك في نفسك تضرعا وخيفة ودون الجهر من القول ودون الجهر من القول بالغدو والآصال ولا تكن من الغافلين إن الذين عند ربك لا يستكبرون عن عبادته لا يستكبرون عن عبادته ويسبحونه وله يسجدون صدق الله العلي العظيم We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be approached by his community, Muslims and non-Muslims and believers and non-believers. And the believers, they also had several levels of faith. Not all of them, they had one level. Some of them, their faith was shallow, newly converts, and some of them they converted not only because they believed in Islam, they converted for socio-economic reasons, just to join the party. Others, their conversion was genuine and real. And they converted out of conviction and understanding and love. So whenever the Prophet ﷺ is approached by them with a question, he would wait. If he knows the answer, he will give them the answer. If not, he says, I wait for Jibreel to arrive. I can't give you an answer out of my head. I cannot throw an answer. Throwing an answer while you don't know the answer, the real answer, is a big responsibility. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam says, has a beautiful hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Listen to your imam, O Shi'as, listen to your imam. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, قَوْلُ لَا أَعْلَمْ هُوَ نَصْفُ الْعِلْمِ قَوْلُ لَا أَعْلَمْ. To have the courage when you are asked about something and you don't know the answer, to say, لا أعلم, I don't know the answer, I don't know, it is half of the knowledge itself, considered half of the knowledge. وقتی از شما بپرسن، سوالی بپرسن، جوابش رو نمیدونید. میگید نمیدونم. امیرالمومنین میگن همین کلمه که شما میگید نمیدونم، همین نصف علم همین است. به جای اینکه جواب قلابی بدید مردم، جواب اشتباهی بدید، لا اعلم. امام الحسن علیه الصلاة والسلام says، ولا يستحين احد منكم اذا سئل عما لا يعلم ان يقول لا اعلم. Do not be embarrassed when someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer. Don't say, I know, and give him the wrong answer. Tell him, I don't know. People do not expect you to be a computer. Google. Tell them, today I know. Let me revise. I don't know. I'm not sure of this. Do not give the wrong answer. Giving a wrong answer is a big responsibility, big liability. Ulama who are pious, scholars, maraji' who are pious, some of them have been seen that they are approached about question. He says, I really don't know now. Let me think about it. Let me go home. Let me go back. Double check in my book. I will give you the answer tomorrow. They would never assume that they are always knowledgeable. This is a lesson we learn from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was approached about certain things and he does not know the answer, he says, I don't know the answer now. I will tell you later on. Let wait until Jibreel arrives. I ask him. He's the messenger between me and Allah. He's the messenger. He would not speak out of his emotion or out of his desire. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He does not speak out of desire. This is why. This is why everything the Prophet says, if the hadith is sahih, genuine, and we know the hadith is 100% was said by the Prophet, then this is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can say Allah said this. Because the Quran says Muhammad does not speak out of his own. He represents me. He represents the revelation. Today we have this new trend in our community, that we don't accept the hadith, we only accept the Quran. This is wrong. This is contrary to the Quran itself. Quran says, whatever the Prophet tells you, take it. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever he tells you not to do, don't do. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks on behalf of God, represents Allah. What do you mean I don't accept the hadith? Hadith complements the Quran. We have two main sources of legislation in the Islamic Sharia. One, the Quran, this book. This book is insufficient without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This book is incomplete without the interpretation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is Prophet Muhammad who comes and integrates this book and completes this book and elucidates on the meanings of this book. His job, Allah says, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We sent you لِتُبَيِّن, bayan, to explain for people what we have sent to them. Who is going to explain this this book to us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who's after the Prophet? Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt, who have been designated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet says a hadith that is accepted. No one doubts this hadith. Inni tarikun fikum al-thaqalain kitab Allah. I'm leaving behind among you two things, two important things. The book of God, this book. وَعِطْرَةِ أَهْلَ بَيْتِي And my family who are going to explain this book for you. So I am not abandoning you. If I go, I'm leaving a substitute, good substitute. The book and my itra, my family. They're going to explain Islam for you. So they come to the Prophet. Allah says, وَإِذَا لَمْ تَأْتِهِمْ بِآيَةٍ When you bring them a verse, they reject it, they don't accept it. Quraysh, Allah is speaking about Quraysh, the polytheists, mushrikeen. Allah says, if you bring them a verse, they reject it, they don't accept the verse. And if you don't bring them with a verse, they say, why don't you make up one? لَوْ لَجْتَبَيْتَهَا لَوْ لَجْتَبَيْتَهَا Why don't you compose? They start ridiculing the Prophet. They say, why don't you fabricate an answer? You can compose an answer. Promulgate an answer yourself. You can bring an answer. Put together. اجتبيتها when you اجتبى One of the meanings of اجتبى when you put things together. Putting things, assembling. So they say to him, why do you wait for Jibreel to come? They are ridiculing the Prophet, huh? They are not serious. They are ridiculing him. They say, you make one, make up one. You can compose a verse, so why do you wait for Jibreel to come? The Prophet, the answer of the Prophet, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَتَّبِعُ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَبِّي I only follow what is revealed to me from my Lord. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَتَّبِعُ Say to them, I cannot compose. This is not my job. Not my expertise. I don't compose the Qur'an. Qur'an, I receive it from the Lord. I add nothing to it. These are not my answers. These are not my statements. This is revelation. وَإِذَا لَمْ تَأْتِهِمْ بِآيَةٍ قَالُوا لَوْ لَجْتَبَيْتَهَا They say to him, why don't you compose? Say to them, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَتَّبِعُ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَبِّي See, my friends, this is a very critical statement here in the Qur'an. That in the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, we believe that the sunnah of the Prophet complements the Qur'an. Meaning, that Qur'an without the sunnah, Qur'an without the sunnah is incomplete. No one can explain the Qur'an but the sunnah for us. Qur'an without the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not function properly. Qur'an needs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet does not speak out of his own desire. The Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all his speech and his statements and consent, even consent, when he consents to something, even if he does not speak, but he sees something right before his eyes, he does not say this is haram. It means this is halal. If he says this is haram, it means this is haram. This is the consent of the Prophet, because his job is a teacher. So he cannot keep silent. Maybe me and you, maybe if we see something haram, maybe we don't interfere. We say this is none of my business. But the Prophet does not say this. The Prophet says this is my business. God sent me for this job. My job is to tell people what is good and what is bad. So he would not be silent. If he sees something bad, he would not keep silent. He would say this is good and this is bad. This is... In Islamic literature, and vocabulary. This is called taqreer. Taqreer means consent, the consent of the Prophet. The consent. When something happens right before his eyes, if he agrees to that, it means this is okay. If he disagrees to that, he will disagree. He will say, this is not okay. This is taqreer. This is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, if we hear people who say, let's bypass the sunnah, the hadith, Quran is enough, they don't understand Islam. And the first one who said this sentence, he said it during the life of the Prophet. He said, Hasbuna kitabullah. We have the book of God, and that book is enough for us. We don't need the statement of the Prophet. And the Prophet was so angry at him, at that person. So this is not something in you. This is not something that you hear it in you. This has roots in Islam. The story goes back to the time of the Prophet. Some people disagreed with the Prophet. They said, God sent me this. I don't need. It's like a Christian who says, I have the Bible. I don't need Jesus. No Christian says the Bible would function without Jesus. Jesus and the Bible are inseparable. Quran, the Holy Quran, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are inseparable, indispensable. They work together. You cannot detach them from each other. هذا بصائر من ربكم. Then the Prophet says, this book has three main jobs, this book. Number one, if you believe in this book, if you believe, if you embrace it, if you don't reject this book becomes بصائر من ربكم. بصائر is spiritual insight. We have physical insight, physical sight, which is this one. You need to see. You need to open your eyes. If you want to walk, if you want to read, if you want to travel, you need to open your eyes. You see objects with this. With the eyes, what do you see? You see objects now. We see objects. But there is a different type of seeing, which is called insight, spiritual insight. This is basira. This one is basar. With basar, with vision, we see objects. If there is light, we see objects. With basira, what do we see? Do we see objects too? We don't see objects. What do we see with basira? What do we see with the inner vision? What do we see with the spiritual insight? We see the truth. We see the truth. Do we see God with this vision? Someone asked Imam Ali alayhi salam one day, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, hal ra'ayta rabbak? Have you ever saw your Lord? Imam Ali said, of course I saw him. The man said, really? Did you see him? He said, لم تره العيون. We did not see him with these physical visions, but we saw him with بحقائق الإيمان. Through the insight, through the inner vision, I can see my Lord. God has given me the brain. I see God with my brain. I don't see him with physical eyes. I see him with something even more powerful than physical eyes. I see him with my heart, with my inner vision. Definitely I see him. I see God all the time. I see his creation. These are the prints of God in everything. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ. Look at yourself. You are an ayah, a sign for God. Look at things around you. You can see God. Wait for the sunrise. It's one of the signs of God. The sunset, the stars, the sun, the moon, the soil. Look at the plants. Look at the ocean. Everything you see, there is a sign for God that he does exist. He does exist. When you see this organization in this universe, Mother Nature did not create this. There is a governor. There is a director for this universe. If you come to the city of Irvine and you like the city, it's so organized, so beautiful, the traffic is smooth, let's say, okay? And no crime, let's say, compared to other cities? What do you say? You say this happened by itself? Doesn't happen by itself. Definitely there is a good mayor, a good governance in this city. It doesn't happen by accidents. It doesn't happen. And when you go to bad cities with a higher rate of a crime, it means what? It means there is a lot of corruption. When you go to a good country where you feel safe, it means there is a strong governance. When you go to a country where you don't feel safe, does it again mean there is a good governance? It's not good governance. We went to Nigeria, I think 10 years ago, for a conference. The first thing they told us when they picked us from the airport, they said, don't leave the hotel. You will be here staying 3 days. Don't leave the hotel. I said, why? They said, because it's too dangerous. Once you leave the hotel, you are kidnapped. Khalas. This is what they told us. So this is mean, does that mean this is a safe place? They have good government? They don't have good government. They have bad government, corrupt government. Nigeria is one of the leading country in exporting oil, but it is the poorest nation, because of corruption. I saw the corruption of some governance. They have 37 states. Each one is worse than the other. 37 states, most of those governors are Muslims. They declare it Islamic state, but it is the most corrupt. Go to Kano. There is a city, large city called Kano. Probably this is the third largest city in Nigeria. The third largest city. Lagos is in the south, the economic capital, and Abuja is the political capital. Go to Kano. They declare it as Hukuma Islamiyya, Islamic State. Believe me, it is the most terrifying place on earth. The most terrifying place on earth. Is this Islam? Islam who cannot provide peace for its own citizens. Islam who cannot provide security in the neighborhoods. This is Islam? This is good Islam? This is the Islam of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. This is not the Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And their corruption, the corruption that they had, produced Boko Haram. The corruption that they had. Otherwise, if you have justice in your society, there is no need. You don't see the emergence of Boko Haram and ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Because there is a lot of injustice and corruption and deviation and theft. You see these things happening. Imam Ali alayhi salam, during his time, he used to walk by himself. People said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, how do you walk by yourself? You have many enemies. We are your bodyguards. He said, I don't want any bodyguard. He goes by himself. He says, if I fail to secure my society and my country, and I need to surround myself with so many bodyguards, this is a sign of failure. A sign of failure. Then I deserve it if I pay the price if they kill me. I deserve it. It's my responsibility to secure my community. What is my job then? What is my job? What is the job of the hakim, the ruler? What is the job? The job, the main job of the hakim, the president, the sultan, the king, is to make his people feel secure in their neighborhoods, with their families, when they send their children to school, when their wives go outside. They have to feel secure. If not, this is not Islam. Call it anything else. It's not Islam. Allah says in this book, Allah says the first two elements of governance, حكومة, الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. Allah says, the job of the hakim, the leader, is to feed his nation against hunger. There is no hungry person in his community. The second, he provides them with security against fear. Food against hunger and security against fear. أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. Now you come to Islamic countries, they have both hunger and fear. Hunger and fear. And each day, thousands of people, they flee Islamic countries, they seek refuge in non-Muslim countries. They run away from Muslim societies into non-Muslim societies. This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy. We have to fix our communities. Allah has given us resources. Today I was reading about one of these countries in the LA Times. The article is in the LA Times. The king of that country died a few hours ago. They can feed the entire Middle East. They can feed it. They can build it. Not only did they not feed the entire Middle East, they destroyed the entire Middle East. They destroyed. وقالوا وإذا لم تأتهم بآية قالوا لولا اجتبيتها قل إنما أتبع ما يوحى إلي من ربي. This book carries for you three things. هذا بصائر من ربكم. It is spiritual insight, this book. When you read it, it gives you spiritual insight. With vision, with physical insight, I can see my way here, physically. With a spiritual insight, I can see what is right and what is wrong. What is haq, truth, and what is batil, falsehood. Through the spiritual insight. هذا بصائر من ربكم. And second, وهدن, and guidance. ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون. And it is mercy, but for whom? For those who believe. For those who accept the Quran. If they reject the Quran, Quran would not work for them. It's like medicine. Medicine, today you go to the doctor says, this is your medicine. Take it, follow my instructions. When you go to the pharmacy, they're going to give you instructions. Follow it. Take it according to the doctor's instructions. Suppose I go and they give me this much medicine and they tell me 3 teaspoons a day. I come home and I put all this in my mouth. What will happen to me? Would I get cured? I die. Through the same medicine I die because I did not follow the instructions. Allah says this book, if you follow the instructions of this book, you're going to get cured. If not, the same book is going to kill you. The same book. Becomes a curse against you. هذا بصائر من ربكم وهدن ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون. Let's go to 204. وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون. When the Quran is read, listen to it with attention. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. When he used to stand for the Salat in his mosque, Salatul Jama'ah, and the Prophet recites the Quran with a beautiful tone. Beautiful voice. The voice of the Prophet was the most beautiful. Some Muslims would listen, others they would speak among themselves. They speak. They speak about dunya, not about akhirah. Someone turns to the other, he tells him, what did your wife cook for today lunch? Huh? In the middle of the prayers, huh? Imagine in the middle of the prayers, they speak about dunya, the affairs of the dunya. Allah sent Jibreel with this verse. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ. When the Prophet recites the Quran in the middle of the prayers, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَبِعُوا لَهُ. Number one, listen to it. وَأَنْصِتُوا. Insat, ulama, they say, السُّكُوتُ الْمَشْفُوعُ بِالْإِصْغَاءِ وَالْإِسْتِمَاءِ. Listening. Not just listening, listening with attention and reflection. Listening with attention. Sometimes you listen, but you don't pay attention. Allah says when the Quran is read, listen with attention and also with what? Reflection. With reflection. I see sometimes in some Islamic communities, when the Quran is read, people neither listen nor pay attention. nor reflect on it. This is not good. We have to respect the Quran, especially at our masjid here. At our masjid, when the Quran is read, we should not speak. We should listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A couple of nights, President Obama was giving the State of the Union address. And I was listening to him. So I said to my family, shush. I need to listen to this guy. I need to know what he says. Is Allah less than Obama? Is Allah less than us when we speak to each other? We should listen to the Quran. The reason sometimes we don't understand the Quran and we don't enjoy it because we don't listen to it. And we don't reflect. If we reflect on the Quran, we would enjoy it. But we don't allow ourselves. While we are reading the Quran, the mind is busy somewhere else. The mind is busy somewhere else. I tell you a story. We had two great ulama, Al-Sharif al-Radi, Al-Sharif al-Murtada. The story goes back to 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago. Two great scholars of Shia in Baghdad, Sharif al-Radi and Sharif al-Murtada. Sharif al-Radi is the one who composed Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha, the book of Imam Ali, was composed by this man more than 1,000 years ago, Sharif al-Radi. Sharif al-Murtada led the prayers. His brother was praying behind him. Behind him. After he finished his prayers, after the Imam, which is Sharif al-Radi, finished the prayers, Sharif al-Murtada, his own brother, he stood and he went and he repeated the prayer by himself, Furada, by himself. So the brother came to him, he said, what did you do? He said, I repeated my prayers. He said, why? He said, because in the middle of the prayers, I felt something wrong. I did not like this prayers. I did not like it. Something wrong. The prayers that you were doing, there was something wrong with it. He said, yes, my brother, I tell you. In the second rak'ah, while I was reading, I lost my mind. I started thinking about some problems. Imagine the Imam is thinking about something. His brother who is behind him, he felt that. He felt it. He said, you are correct. Yes, there was something wrong with my prayers. In the second rak'ah, I did not pay attention to what I was saying. Imagine his brother was so pious, he felt it. He felt this prayer is not accurate. This salat is not pure. It's not pure. If we human being, we feel it, Allah would not feel it. Allah would not realize that my prayers has some defects. There is no attention in it. There is no hudur al-qalb, the presence of the heart in it. Definitely Allah knows about it. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. One hadith, and I conclude, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And inshallah, next week we're going to have the last two verses, verse 205 and 206 of Surah Al-A'raf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Jibreel came to me and said to me, Ya Rasulallah, inna ummataka muftatanatun min ba'dik. Your nation, your community is going to be severely tested after your death. Faqult, I asked Jibreel, fitnatu kufrin am dhalala? Is this test, they going to reject Islam, they go back to kufr, or some type of sinning or misguidance? Jibreel said both of them. Some of them are going to reject Islam after you, as they did, some of them did. And some of them are going to commit sin or injustice or misguidance, dalala. The Prophet said, Ya Jibreel, كيف يكون ذلك وقد تركت فيهم القرآن الكريم? How can people, after they accepted Islam and faith and Iman, how can they go back to polytheism, to shirk? How come they reject Islam after I leave this book among them? Listen to the answer. Jibreel said to him, Ya Rasulallah, O the Messenger of God, إِنَّهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَضُلُّونَ It is through the Qur'an that they are going to be misguided. By the Qur'an, huh? Not by drinking alcohol. Not by the Bible. Not by magazines. It's by the Qur'an they're going to be misguided. The Prophet said, is that right? By the Qur'an? He said, yes, I'm going to tell you how. وَأَوَّلُ ذَلِكَ The beginning of this problem stems from مِنْ قِبَلِ قُرَّائِهِمْ وَأُمَرَاؤُهُمْ Two types are going to be misguided after you, and they're going to misguide the entire ummah behind them. Who are they? First, قُرَّائِهِمْ The reciters of the Qur'an. Meaning the ulama. Reciters of the Qur'an are the ulama. They're going to be misguided, and then they misguide the ummah with them. تَتْبَعُ الْقُرَّاءُ الْأُمَرَاءُ Ulama, scholars are going to follow whom? Umara, the political leaders. They work for them. They would not work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to try to satisfy the hakim, the ruler, not Allah. تَتْبَعُ الْقُرَّاءُ الْأُمَرَاءُ The scholars are going to work for the government, not for God. فَيَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيِّ ثُمَّ لَا يُقْصِرُونَ Not only they follow the Sultan, they encourage the Sultan to do injustice. They justify the dhulm and the injustice of the Sultan. For instance, the Sultan, he kills someone, the scholar comes to him and he says to him, Your Majesty, this is very good. This is very good. You did your duty. Did you see the American sniper? How many of you saw the American sniper? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is sniper who killed 150. It is a true story. American sniper during the war in Iraq. He killed 150 Iraqis. The best sniper in the history of the United States of America. Imagine he killed 150 and he escaped numerous attempts of death and injury in Iraq. He came to America, he was killed here in Texas by a veteran. See, Israel allows you to kill so many. There you survive, you come to a place where there is peace and security, pop, 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 with the three bullets, they put an end to your life. This means Israel is active everywhere. If you escape him in Iraq, he comes after you in Dallas. This is not my point. This is not my point. When he used to go and kill children, women and children in the streets of Baghdad and Ramadi and Fallujah, some of them deserve death and some of them don't. He comes back to his camp. He was worried. He was confused because he knew he did something wrong. Some of the friends, they tell him, this is your duty. This is your national, patriotic duty. You did something good. Don't worry about it. They would come to give him assurance that what he did was good. This is exactly, my friends, what some of the ulama nowadays are doing for the sultans. Sultans who are zalim in many countries, they go to them, ahsant, no, you can murder, you can kill. They justify them for them. They justify for them. So this is one of the ulama that the Prophet is speaking about. And al-umara, what the umara, the commanders or the leaders, political leaders are going to do, يَمْنَعُ الْأُمَرَاءُ النَّاسَ حُقُوقَهُمْ فَلَا يُعْطَوْنَهَا فَيَقْتَتِلُونَ Listen to what the Prophet said 1400 years ago. He said the political leadership, they will deny their own subjects, their own people, their rights, then they start fighting among themselves. This is one of the reasons we have ISIS and we have Al-Qaeda. Because had we been having democracy, real democracy, real respect for human rights, you could not see. I know there are some bad people, but you don't see it the large scale that we are observing now. One of the reasons is because we have injustice. We have injustice. The Sultan dies. You will hear about the figure soon. He leaves behind $80 billion. $80 billion behind. Only one account, one bank account belongs to one ruler. And in the same country, there are people who beg for food. They beg for food. For food. In the same country, huh? Someone dies, leaves behind $80 billion, and then in his own citizens who live on the same soil, on the same earth, on the same ground, they are begging for food. The result of that is you see the emergence of terrorist organizations. Of course, you see it. This is part of injustice that we have in the Muslim societies. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Inshallah, we will continue on this ayah, on this last two ayat in Surah Al-A'raf next Thursday, and we see you inshallah tomorrow, Salatul Jumu'ah at 12 inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at innaka mahis sayyi'at wa ja'ilaha hasanat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir wa ajjil fi faraj sayyidina wa maulana sahib al 'asr wal zaman وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.